Okay, Zane, we're now going to move into Luke chapter 15, verses 4 through 7, and this is the first of the three parables, and this is the one of the lost sheep. And just to overview the story, you've got a man with 100 sheep. One of them is lost, and the man goes looking for the one and finds it, and there's this joy that occurs. And then Jesus relates this to joy in heaven over a sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who don't need repentance. Since all three of these parables deal with the point of lostness, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, although the son is not specifically called lost, but he's called prodigal, etc., and he's spiritually called lost in the sense of dead. He was dead. He was lost to the Father in terms of fellowship.
Yes.
Maybe you could talk about lostness, because before we actually get into this parable, because we tend to think of the saved and the lost, and we think lost means unregenerate, but that really doesn't work here, does it?
No, it really doesn't. And if you'll permit me to back up on your question just a minute to say something about the introductory verses of chapter 50, which are important to our understanding of the chapter. It's noteworthy that it says that all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to hear him. So the teaching that is given in this chapter is directed to this type of person. But when the Pharisees observe these tax collectors and sinners coming to Jesus, they're critical of this. And they say, this man receives sinners and eats with them. That implies that the gathering of these tax collectors and sinners was to a meal of some kind.
Yes.
So Jesus is sitting down at supper with the riffraff.
Which no Pharisee would do.
No, and they see this happening, and they're critical of it. But the teaching that is given in this chapter is not aimed at them. It's aimed at the tax collectors and sinners, who were the most fruitful area of conversions in the ministry of Jesus. Obviously, their desire to come and hear him teach implies that many of them, at least, were already believers in him. They want to get teaching from him.
Mm-hmm.
So he gives teaching to people who have known something about the low end of life, the sinful type of life out of which they were collected.
Mm-hmm.
Tax collectors, of course, were cheats, but the sinners broadens it to any kind of man who has lived a sinful life. So they have a sense of lostness, not necessarily. I think we have turned the word lost into a kind of a technical term for unsaved.
Right.
But a person who has come back to Jesus or come to Jesus out of a sinful life knows what it means to be lost. He's just a lost soul. You know, we sometimes hear people say, that's a lost soul. They don't mean he's going to hell. They mean he's lost his bearings. He's lost his capacity to cope with life.
Right.
He's lost in that sense. And I think that that's basically the meaning here. In fact, the significance of it is highlighted by the story of the prodigal son himself.
Yes.
What does it mean to be lost? This my son was lost and is found. Well, he was lost when he was in the far country, wasting his substance in riotous living, winding up with the pigs, longing to eat the slop that they gave to the pigs. That's what it means to be lost. It means to be away from God and disoriented in terms of life and experience.
Mm-hmm. That's very good. And by the way, we were talking before we started taping, and you pointed out that in verse 3, so he spoke this parable to them. There's really two groups present. There's the Pharisees and scribes, which appear to be unbelievers, and then there's the tax collectors and the other collection of sinners, which might be believers and unbelievers or believers or whatever. But which group is being spoken of in verse 3 when he says, so he spoke this parable to them?
Well, it doesn't really say that the scribes and Pharisees were present. It says that the tax collectors and sinners drew near to hear him. They are getting ready to listen to him. And the Pharisees are observing this.
And they're murmuring off in their own little
That's
corner.
That's right. There's no indication in the text that they're there at all. So when we read the words, he spoke this parable to them, he spoke the parable to those who had drawn near to hear him.
I gotcha.
Remember that when he was going to the house of Zacchaeus,
right?
The people who saw him go into Zacchaeus says, this man is going into the house of a sinner.
Right.
You know, but they weren't going in.
Right.
And so I think that's the scene that we should see here. Here, the Pharisees are observing all these riffraff going into some place where Jesus is going to have a meal with them. And he says, this, they say, this man eats with sinners. They're not going to eat there.
They should be. They should be pushing in with the others.
That's right, but they're not going to eat there because they don't eat with that kind of people. And that is the anticipation of the attitude of the older brother. He's not going to eat with his dad and with his brother who have come back.
That's great. Okay, so what about this lost sheep? What's going on here, and how does this relate? Maybe you could just overview the story, and then we can talk about verse 7 in particular.
Well, in particular, the statement is made that the shepherd has 100 sheep, right?
Right.
And so when one of them gets lost, he leaves the 99 and goes and looks for the lost sheep. All right, this already tells us that all 100 sheep belong to the shepherd, right?
It's not like we have 100 that don't belong to him, and one strays off, and then all of a sudden he belongs to him.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Just like in the next parable, we have a man, a woman has 10 coins, and one of them gets lost. She still has the other 9.
Right.
They belong to her. So the 99 sheep belong to the shepherd. So what we learn from this at the very outset is this is not a story about evangelization. This is about somebody who has been in the flock that belongs to the shepherd and drifts away from it. In other words, it's a story about restoration.
That makes sense, but that's not the way this passage is normally taught.
Absolutely not. But in order to teach it another way, we have to fly directly into the face of verse 7. Because in verse 7 it says, I say to you that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Now, that is almost always read by those who take this as a story about evangelization, as 99 persons who think they need no repentance.
But that's just the opposite of what it says.
Absolutely. And it's contradicted to the original observation that all 100 sheep belong to him. So what we have here is a group of people who don't need repentance, except one of them wanders away, and now he needs repentance, right?
Right.
He needs to be brought back. So there's no support in the text for the idea that we have any unsaved people in this story at all. We have 100 sheep who belong to the shepherd. And to make it into an evangelization story requires us to reinterpret Jesus' words by introducing thoughts he doesn't express.
Well, not only that, there's no call to faith here, so you would ultimately change, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, to whoever repents has everlasting life, because there's no call to faith here. There's none of that. And it's a call to repentance for the one who was originally in the fold.
Exactly. And what you've given very appropriately is what we would call the theological justification of this interpretation. But the textual justification and the theological interpretation go together. We can't really read this story as it's written and make it evangelization. And we can't do it theologically because the theology is wrong.
Yeah, that's great. So it would contradict the Gospel of John or Romans or Galatians or anything else.
That's right.
That's good. So then this is teaching us then about 100 people who ultimately not only who are born again, but who are disciples. They're walking with the Lord. One strays off, and then there is the Lord actually seeking the wandering saint.
That's right. And the 99 who don't wander off, as you say, are walking with him. They don't need repentance. But the one who does is a special concern to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a way of saying to us that if we're in a church of born-again believers and somebody drifts away, if the Lord is concerned, the implication is we should be too.
That's right. And when they return, if there's joy in heaven, there probably should be joy on earth, wouldn't you think?
There should be joy in the assembly. And, of course, that issue is postponed till we get to the older brother, who doesn't have the joy of this.
Yeah, we don't pull out one of the sheep and say he's grumbling when Leroy's brought back.
That's right. Yeah. No, that's not the point of this parable. We get to that in the larger parable, but the fundamental principle is that God is concerned with the restoration of a straying believer, and heaven is delighted when it occurs.
That's great.